chapter number 12 and verse number 8. And I'm going to preach tonight on what I call the geography of the Christian life. The geography of the Christian life. Let's read it here. It said, in the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness and in the south country. You can be seated. God was good to Israel when she was in Egypt, was He not? It was there that He raised her up. It was there that He revealed a delivering son. It was there that He redeemed her, and it was from there that He released her or set her free. I'm glad that God has been good to me in this old world, a type of Egypt. He was good to me before He saved me, and He was good to me after He saved me. I thank Him for what He's done. He's been good. God was better to Israel than she deserved in the wilderness. Manna from on high, water from great depth, a cloud of fire by night to guide them, a cloud of smoke by the day to keep the heat off from them, causing that their clothes would not wear out, giving them quail. And all of that came from grumbling and complaining. I've often wondered what had happened if they'd have praised Him. So with you and so with me. God was good to Israel in Egypt. God was better to Israel in the wilderness than she deserved. But can I say to you tonight, God's best for Israel was found in Canaan. God designed and God ordained and God planned a special place for His children. It was called their inheritance. I'm glad that God has a best for you and He has a best for me. I want us to read just a verse or two in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, that seems to emphasize this best that God had for Israel and what He has for you and I. And of course, that best there in the Old Testament was the land of Canaan. Everything led to that land of inheritance. But when we come to the New Testament book of Ephesians, equal to the Old Testament book of Joshua, we read in chapter number 1 and verse number 15 who our New Testament inheritance is. I want you to look at it with me there. The Bible said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I'm glad I've got an inheritance, aren't you? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. God's best for Israel was an inheritance called Canaan. It was a place that flowed with milk and with honey. It was a place that was said to be full for her. It is an Old Testament inheritance for the children of Israel that speaks of our New Testament inheritance, which is Christ. He is the fullness of all. And it is in Him that we receive all that God has for us. Christ is our land, and Christ is, thank God, our inheritance. But I want you to notice with me, as I said, I want to speak for a few moments on the geography of the Christian life, the geography of our inheritance. But I want to take the comparison of that Old Testament inheritance for the children and compare it to our inheritance, which is in Christ. Noticing the landscape, the features, the topography, the characteristics of this land. Now, it may surprise us to know that the Christian life has as much variety and diversity and range in it as the physical land of the inheritance of the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse 7 said, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depth that spring out of the valleys and the hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. And thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass." God had an inheritance for His children as He led them in through Joshua across the Jordan. And there was a diversity and a variety about that land. And I have found it to be so in Christ, the diversity and the variety. Now, this has caused much despair to the children of God, who when we first came to Christ, we had the idea that Christ offered us a one level of emotion, one rich flavor, one temperature, one type of weather, one beautiful island somewhere in the Pacific, a place in which it seemed all to be the same. But you know as well as I do, if you've been in Christ any length of time, nothing has ever remained the same. There are those diversities as far as that land is concerned. I'm talking about the geography of the Christian life, the geography of our inheritance in Christ, much like the geography and the land lay of the inheritance of the children of Israel called Canaan. Now, let's, with that thought in mind, let's point out some things about the geography or the land lay of the Christian life. First of all, I would have you to know that the land of Canaan had its geographical elevations, much like the Christian life. For instance, when we think about the land of Canaan, we think about, of course, its mountains. I have been to Israel, and it is a beautiful place. And I have stood and looked upon Mount Hermon in the north. It rises some 9,200 feet. At the foot of that mountain, the Jordan River begins its flow. Surprising to me is me and my wife stood there at the Jordan River's beginning at the bottom of Mount Hermon. It did not begin as a trickle or as a spring, but it began as water ushering from underneath that mountain as wide probably as a couple of these pews, and then flowed on down, of course, as the Jordan does, as a snake's back. I thought about Mount Carmel, that mountain upon which Elijah prayed fire down out of heaven. I thought about the Mount of Zion or Jerusalem. I thought about Mount Hebron, of which Caleb claimed here in the book of Joshua from the Lord. I say to you that in that land it has many majestic mountains. But what you need to understand is while that land has the many majestic mountains, also Here's the thing that leaped out to me. In this promised land, in this inherited land for the children of Israel, He not only gave them a land with high elevations of many high majestic mountains, but I also found out that the lowest spot on earth is found in God's inheritance. The Jordan River flowing down to the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea. And did you know that that Salt Sea is 1,300 feet below sea level? And then if you go to the depth of that Salt Sea, it is another 1,300 feet. A total of 2,600 feet below sea level. Some high elevations and the lowest point on earth. It caused me to think of my experiences in Christ. The geography of the Christian life. The Apostle Paul talked about those high mountain peaks when he said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said, it is a peace that passeth all understanding. But then again, he wrote and said and spoke of the fellowship of His suffering, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say to you that in the experience of the Christian life, you can expect that there are going to be some highs, and thank God for them. Some times of great rejoicing on the mountaintops of your experiences with the Lord. As a matter of fact, I have no idea how high you might go in your walk with the Lord, in your inheritance in Christ. I cannot tell you how high you can go, but I can tell you this, that the lowest point of any experience is found in Christ. You better expect that. There was none that has ever been born of Adam who has ever went as deep and as low as Christ did when He suffered in the garden and on the cross for your sins and my sins and entered into that grave. And so it is, as Paul talked about the fellowship of His sufferings, there will be those times that not only will you experience the highest of the highest, but there will be those times ordained in your life when you are going to experience some of the depths of your inheritance. But the truth of the matter is, whether you're on a high or on a low, it's still His inheritance. And He's still the Lord of the land. And He wants to be your Lord in any of those elevations or any of those places. I'm talking about the geography of the Christian life. The geographical elevations in which God teaches us that the Christ of our inheritance is Lord of our inheritance no matter where we are. I've noticed as I've studied the Word of God that there are also those geographical examples in relationship to these elevations. God, of course, when we think about the body of Christ, when He saved us, Christ's body is represented in two or three ways. It's represented as a body of which we are members of that body. Some of us are part of the eye. Some are part of the hand, as Paul talked about it there in the book of 1 Corinthians. Some are part of the feet. Some are part of the ears. God, when He saved you, He put you in a specific, purposeful place in the body. Also, when we speak about being in Christ, is represented as a building. And He fitly joins us together, as He says in Ephesians chapter 2, such as a building. Some of us are laid within the foundation. Some of us within the walls. Some of us within the windows. Some of us within the roof. But we are a part of that building. But when we come to the book of Joshua, there are borders. This inheritance included borders. And he specifically took his people, and for each of those tribes, he put them in direct borders of which he wanted them to inhabit and he wanted them to live. And they lived within the borders of their geographical inheritance. There are illustrations found throughout the Word of God, of which we find those that seem to abide in certain elements and certain elevations of that land. John the Baptist. If you want to find John the Baptist, you don't go to town. You go down to the wilderness. And he'll be down there popping locusts, licking on wild honey. That's where God raised him up. He's a wilderness type person. If you are going to find Elijah, you're going to find him many times, or if you're going to find Caleb, you're going to find him many times on the mountains. It seemed like God created them old boys for mountain experiences. And for the majority of their time, they're going to be up there on a mountain. If you're going to find Jeremiah, you're most likely going to have to go to town because that's where he's going to be. If you're going to run into Amos, you'll have to go out there at the farm. He's a farm boy. He'll be out there plowing somewhere in the valley with some kind of team in the soil. These men lived and were adjusted primarily to their own elements and their own elevations as far as the land was concerned. There was no doubt that there were times, that as we read in the Word of God, that John the Baptist would leave the wilderness and he'd come on up to the city or to Jerusalem, but he wouldn't stay long, he'd head back. There were no doubt times of which Caleb would find that he would have to leave the mountains and come down into the valleys for whatever the purpose might be. But he wouldn't stay long. He'd head back to the mountains. Because these men were made for that. If you were going to find Simon Peter early on, you'd have to go down by the sea. And he'd be down there at the sea. Anytime you find him, he's always had something to do with water. Now, he might leave that for a while, but he'd go back to it. That was his location. And can I say to you that God has a specific elevation for all of us in the Christian life? We can't all abide on the same level. We can't all operate in the same element. We can't all survive under the same circumstances. And we don't need to look around and get jealous of the Calebs because they get to experience the mountain experiences. You've been around those people. It seemed as though that they were always up. And boy, I mean, they just always seemed to be on a cloud. They didn't seem to be down that much. And it kind of made you mad. You'd like to stay up there, but you're not made for that all the time. We have our different places of which the Lord places us in the geography of the Christian life. I've known preachers and preach with preachers that it seems as though they're always on a high note, high key. I'm not a mountain dweller as far as spirituality is concerned. I'm never really too low, but I'm never really too high. It seems like I always have to operate there. Maybe what you might call in the valley experience. But then every now and then I'll run into a preacher that'll come up out of the wilderness. And he'll just sort of have that grizzly attitude about him and atmosphere. And he's been down there in the wilderness experience. But you see, God has him there. He has me here. He has someone else there. He has these geographical examples. No doubt, as I said, they visited other places. I love mountains. Even when I was in the mountains, I loved to go higher up in the mountains. Where I first pastored a little old church called Roaring Creek, nestled by, God taught me everything I know, if I know anything right there. And it's right at the foot of what is called the Bald Mountain. Some of you may have read of it in the National Geographic. Trees only grow so high, and above that is just great, huge, hundreds and thousands of acres of grazing field. And in those days, in the early 70s, you could yet go up there and enjoy it and camp and so on. Very few did. Now, there wasn't anything up there. It was if you got water, there was one spring up there. It flowed right out of the side almost to the top. And, of course, no roads, no electricity or anything like that. Most of the way you'd have to walk unless you had a four-wheeler. But I can remember the first time we went up there and took a bunch of young boys to camp out. And got up on that mountain, the air so fresh, and it seemed as though you could see for miles one mountain peak after another. And I said to those boys, I think we need to have a service. And there was a series of rock cliffs, kind of jagged, that came from one valley, one mountain, grazing field, down into another, sloped. Wasn't dangerous to get on. Looked like a pretty good pulpit to me. And I said, let's just have us a preaching service. And I asked them if anybody had anything to say. They said no. And so I stood out on that, feeling the breeze of heaven, and quoted that verse where it said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world. And about right there, the world blew up. And I'm going to tell you, I got to climbing rocks and preaching all over the place. It's a wonder I didn't get killed. The Holy Ghost didn't spare me. But I never went up on that mountain, but what I didn't feel, the very presence of the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, I couldn't stay up there. I had to come back down to the valley. And so it is in our experiences. So it was in the experiences of those in the Bible. So it is in Christ. That we have these places of which God has predominantly put us in. And there's no need to trying to move out of it. I don't care where you try to go. He's got you to operate there in your geographical location. Because as I said in the beginning, He wants you to find out that He's Lord of your inheritance where you are. No matter where that is. And so I'm talking about the geography of the Christian life. The geographical elevations, the geographical examples. But then as I read the Word of God, I notice that there are some geographical experiences in each one of these places. These men learned to experience and to find out God was God where they were at. Whether it was David who was in the valley as the giant came down toward him and he threw the stone and slew him. What an experience that was there in that valley that David could talk about. Elijah, if he's going to testify, he's going to talk about a mountain experience. He's going to tell you about how he's on Mount Carmel, or he's going to tell you about the time he saw the cloud about the size of a man's hand. He's going to tell you about those experiences that took place up there where he experienced the Lord in his geographical location. And can I say to you, you won't be where you're at long, no matter where that may be, but what God's not going to show up. And you're going to have an experience there in your location that nobody else can have anywhere else. Because He has planted you there and He's operating through you there, and it is there that He's going to let you experience His mighty power. You talk to these men and these people of experiences. You talk to Simon Peter and he'll tell you about walking on water. He can give you that experience. But what they are doing is they are inhabiting and they are possessing, as God would have them to do, their place and their lot and their inheritance in its geographical location. Instead of us moaning and groaning tonight, whining about what we're going through, what we're facing, where we gotta live, and who we gotta work with, what our status is and situation financially. Now, what you need to do is get to looking for the Lord and find out that He's more than enough when the giant comes by. He's more than enough when the storms rage in your direction. He's more than enough when old Baal gets to rumbling with all of his false prophets. This is His inheritance. Ah, listen, the songwriter said about America, this land is your land and this mine is my land. Honey, don't go around in the Christian life tiptoeing like you're afraid the devil may show up. I want you to know this is the Lord's land. The Christian life, our inheritance, when you got in Christ, there will be the ups and downs, there will be the valleys, there will be the wilderness experiences, but He's going to let you experience them so you'll know that He's supreme in His inheritance. He's put you on that level so you can experience Him right where you're at. I'm talking about those geographical elevations, those geographical examples, those geographical experiences. And let me close with this. The reason why there are those geographical elevations and examples and experiences is because God has ordained that there would be some geographical expressions and evidences. We can't all be at the same place at the same time. I went out west, me and the wife, preaching and closed out in Colorado. And then we had to make a decision. We only had a certain amount of time. But we'd heard of all these great places to see. We had first said, before we looked at a map, we'll just see it all while we're there. But when we got there, we said, how far is it? They said, about 800 miles in that direction. We said, well, how far is it? About 700 miles in that direction. What about this? About 1,200 miles in that direction. How about this? About 800 miles in that direction. So, man, we figured all them miles up. We can't go all them places at the same time. And as we thought about it, I thought, boy, if we could just be divided up into two. If it could be two of me and two of her, we'd send one that direction, we'd go in the other direction, we'd all come back and we'd know about all of it. But we decided we'd take the north half this time and take the south half next time, and then take the west on out next time. Because there wasn't enough of us to see it all. Too much geography out there. Too much elevation. Too much highs. Too much lows. I didn't even get to see the Grand Canyon. It's too far down. Couldn't see it all. And I couldn't experience it all. But what we did do, where we got to go, and what we did experience, my wife would shop in those places, believe it or not. And she'd buy a little trinket, she'd buy a little picture, she'd buy something something to say that we were there. And we'd also take pictures of ourselves by those places. So that when we come back, we could get it all together and have folks come by and they could see the expressions and evidences that we've been in some high and low places. And we can talk about some of those experiences that we've had there. Where we've been. But, see, I can only tell you about the experiences of some of the places north of where we're at. If you want to know anything about the south of where we're at, such as the Grand Canyon, the Hoover Dam, and some of those tombstones, some of those places. You're going to have to talk to somebody else. I haven't been there. That's the blessedness of the Christian life. That's the freshness and the fragrance of the Christian life. That's what I love about preaching and being around preaching and being around different saints as I cross the country and shake hands with them as they leave out and I listen to their voices and I see the evidence and the expressions that they've been some places I hadn't been. But they found out He's Lord there. And how it has encouraged my heart to know that He could be Lord there. You see, I pastored and lived in the mountains of North Carolina for 31 years. And we got apples up there. We had seven apple trees on the property up there, different golden, delicious, different types of apples. But oftentimes I would go down to my least favorite state. The wilderness to me would be Florida. Somebody asked me, said, would you consider pastoring down here? I said, if I ever come to Florida, you'll have to pick me up at the coast because I'll probably be coming in a whale. Then I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. No, no, Lord. Don't make me eat my words. But I often tell the pastors that I don't hide it. I said, they ought to saw this thing off at the Georgia line. Let her sing. But I go down there 5 or 6 times a year preaching. And you know what? And there's some wonderful people down there. Don't misunderstand me. But I go down there, and you know what? They'll go to offering me, and I love them. They'll say, preacher, you want some oranges? And I say, yeah, I'd sure like to have some oranges. As a matter of fact, while I'm down there, there's people in the mountains. They said, preacher, if you got us, they give you some oranges, we'd like to have some of those oranges. Because they'd load them up on you. They had oranges to offer. And not only would they give you the oranges, they knew all about the oranges. They could tell you when they grow, how big they grow, how many different types they grow, how to grow them, what you got to spray for them, and what'll hurt them. They could stand there and tell you all that. They could offer me oranges. But I had something to offer them they couldn't offer me. I could offer them apples. I could tell them about apple trees and how we've got some apple trees and about how apple trees can be grafted and how you can grow different type of apples off the same base of a tree. I can tell them some things about that because, you see, in my experiences in the mountains, I knew about apples. And their experiences in the wilderness of Florida, they knew about oranges. But you know what? I'm glad there are oranges. That's the only reason why I'm glad there's Florida. And I'm glad there are apples. And I'm glad there are grapes. And I'm glad there are different types of nuts. I'm glad there are things that are found geographically across this country that though I can't be there, there's evidences that there is a there because I partake of the fruit of that land. As He talked about, the fruit of that land. And here it is. God puts you in different elevations and different places because in those places He can produce the evidences and the fruit in your life that He's worked there. And you can come up out of your situation bearing your fruit and bringing it by and giving it to folks that don't know anything about the fruit of that experience in Christ. How blessed and how fragrant it is to run into the humble souls that have been in these situations and in these places and they have found Christ fruitful. And you are able to receive and benefit of the fruit, the evidences of their experience. I love that, don't you? Every now and then I'll get into a preacher's conference and some fellow will get up. He barely got his text open, and I can tell he's a mountain preacher. Just evident. I get to smelling them apples on him. We're fixing to get a good apple sermon. It's going to be good right here. I tell you, it's going to be rich. Then every now and then, quite often, a preacher will take the pulpit, and I can tell he's been out in the valley. He's been plowing the fields. He's bringing some fruit of his experience out there in that valley with the Lord. Oh, how rich it is. And then every now and then there'll be a John the Baptist. He'll come up out of the wilderness. Boy, I'll tell you, he'll be just biting down on them locusts. Popping them locusts and eating that wild honey. He'll stand up there with that grisly look on his face and he'll proclaim the Christ of the wilderness. And I'll say to myself, I didn't know he was so real down there. I've been scared of that place ever since I heard about it. I wouldn't want to have one of them John the Baptist experiences. Sleep out there amongst the wild beasts, would you? And he'd come and he'd preach with thunder in his soul and tell us about how he'd been with Christ in the wilderness. The old mountain preacher run through and preach and tell you, had been with Christ in the mountains fighting the giants. The old valley preacher tell you, how that down by the Jordan, he'd been with the Lord. See, I'm so glad you don't live on my plane and on my elevation. It'd be boring, wouldn't it? I'm sort of glad he's got you in your little place on the job where it's at or where you're living and your experience of what you're going through and the specific elevation he's got you on. But you might just want to stand up and testify, and when you do, I'll begin to pick the fruit of your experience. I say, thank you, Lord. I didn't have any oranges on my land, but I can sure get one off of this man's land. I didn't have any of those deep, rich grapes on my property. But I tell you, I can see this man's been where the grapes are growing. I believe I'll get me a cluster of them. And I'll be able to experience some of the fullness of the inheritance of Christ out of your life and out of your experiences. He's squeezing that juice. He's giving us that fruit. Child of God, when your heart's hurting, you can hear the beasts are growling in the wilderness, or you can hear the rattle of the giants on the mountainsides, or the chariots in the valley, and the enemies are in all of these places. You just realize that what Jesus is doing is producing some fruit in your little place. Because he knows this little old preacher's going to come by. It ain't got none of that. And some other saint's going to wander in here and they don't have any of that. And you're going to be able to express to them that, you know what? Jesus is Lord of my geographical location in Christ. I'm glad He is, aren't you? I need to hear somebody say every now and then, He's Lord. By the graveyard. He's Lord. I've been over to the hospital, sick or loved one dying, but I found out Jesus is Lord on that third, fourth floor. He's Lord in the pains and heartaches and sufferings. He's Lord in all that land. He said, this is your land. The land of Canaan. A land of hills and of valleys and of rivers and of mountains. This land is your land. It's my land. And I'm going to tell you something. I want to experience Him in my location, don't you? And I want to share Him. If you come by my place, I want to be able to give you a little fruit of what I've been through. The geography of the Christian life.